The 37th annual Madison Herb Fair is coming up, and today we'll be talking with one of their speakers. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network. With us by phone today, Linda Conroy. She is a practicing herbalist, provides herbal education workshops and apprenticeships, and does some individual consultations as well. So, have you attended the Madison Herb Fair? What are some of your favorite herbs? Maybe a question about herbs. I hope you'll join in the conversation today as we talk with her. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234, or you can send us an email to ideas@wpr.org. And Linda Conroy, thanks for taking time to be with us today.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me. It's a delight to be here.
Yeah. You have a couple of master's degrees. You're a community organizer. How'd you get into the herbal business?
Well, my actual academic background is in social work, and I tended to work in medical social work when I was working in that field. And I was introduced to herbs as a healing modality and through that avenue, and it just really sparked my interest. And being a gardener, which I am an avid gardener and forager, it just really sparked my interest about 25 years ago, and I have just been on this trajectory ever since of bringing plants into my life, into the garden, into my kitchen, into my apothecary, and then, you know, have been sharing it with other people and trying to inspire other people along the way, too.
Yeah, it's really cool background. You have your business is Moonwise Herbs. Tell us about the services you offer through it.
I offer workshops, one-time workshops to the public. I actually teach at a lot of different venues throughout the state and also in other parts of the country. And so workshops on growing herbs, on utilizing herbs in the kitchen, on herbal medicine making. I also do some craft-type workshops. I teach sweetgrass basket making. So a whole array of different workshops. And then I do personal consultations as well. And they're focused on teaching people how to utilize herbs in their life, whether it be for food or for medicine. And then I offer apprenticeship trainings, training other herbalists through a weekly program and then also a 8-month certification program.
Wow, you're busy.
I am. And I have to say I enjoy every minute of it.
Well, here you are speaking at the Midwest Herb Society's 37th Annual Herb Fair. It's Saturday, November 2nd.
Yes, it's the Madison Herb Fair, and they are there in their 37th year. And it's really delightful. I've attended this fair for, gosh, over a decade. And they've done a really good job of educating the Madison area community about herbs. There's really a lot of enthusiasm and a lot of knowledge.
There is. And on November 2nd, I know it's from 9 in the morning to 3 in the afternoon, and it's at Olbrich Botanical Gardens on Atwood Avenue in Madison. Always a kind of a cool event, and you're one of the speakers. You're talk about what you're going to be speaking about.
My talk is titled Meet the Wild and Native Herbs of Wisconsin. And what I'm planning on doing is doing a virtual herb walk using a PowerPoint presentation, showing some of the images of the plants that I work with for food and medicine and that grow in our part of the world, and give people the images and then talk about ways that I utilize them. And it's nice to do a virtual herb walk sometimes. I often offer seasonal herb walks where we actually go outside and look at the plants. But in a virtual herb walk, I can do kind of a purview of the season. So I usually will, you know, look at what would you harvest in the spring, what would you see in the summer, fall, and even in the winter, we can go out and find herbs that we can either eat or use for medicine.
What would you say is the difference, or are the differences between wild and native herbs?
Well, sometimes the wild herbs are not indigenous to this part of the world, but they have become, naturalized. And some plants, you know, have been here and are native to this region. So lots of times, you know, gardeners from other parts of the world brought plants here with them, planted them for food or medicine, and then they escape from the garden and they become wild. But they didn't originate in this part of the world.
Yeah. Some of the most popular herbs in here in the state that we use, what do you think? What are the most popular ones, and how are they used?
Well, that's an interesting question, because there are popular herbs, like, on the marketplace, so to speak. I think one of a very familiar herb to a lot of people is echinacea. That is a prairie plant. It does grow wild, and certain species are native. A lot of people grow it in their garden, and a lot of people know that echinacea can be helpful during cold and flu season to either prevent or to minimize, you know, the effects of colds and flus. So that's a very common herb that people are aware of, and typically the root of that plant is utilized for medicine. So this is the time of year, actually my students and I right now are digging up roots and working with roots, and we're actually going to work with echinacea later today. So that's a very common herb that most people are familiar with that I, you know, like to mention. And then one of the herbs that I find that everyone seems to have in their kitchen, whether they're an herbalist or not, is chamomile. Chamomile is a very common plant in people's garden, and it can escape from the garden. And we also have what we call wild chamomile, which is a plant called pineapple weed that can be utilized interchangeably. And most people have a chamomile tea bag in their cabinet somewhere. So I always ask people, you know, in my classes, how many people have a chamomile tea bag? And probably 98% of the people raise their hands. So very accessible.
I was thinking about, I typed in herbs on the, in Dr. Google, and a whole list came up. And there were some I wonder, would you consider these herbs, like chives, would you consider, or dill?
Absolutely. You know, what's interesting is that the culinary herbs have, of course, nutritional value and flavor. You know, they're wonderful for flavor, but they also have medicinal applications, and a lot of people don't realize that. For example, thyme is antispasmodic, and it makes a wonderful remedy if you have a spasming cough to drink a tea. Or we often will mix it in with some honey and take it as a syrup. You could make a syrup with it. So the culinary herbs have lots of applications that people often don't think about.
We are talking today with Linda Conroy. She's a practicing herbalist, and she will be speaking at the Madison Herb Fair this Saturday, November 2nd, actually, at Olbrich Botanical Gardens in Madison. Great to have her with us. Questions for her? I hope you'll join in. How do you use herbs in your life? Do you forage for them? What are some of your favorites? Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234 or email us at ideas@wpr.org. And speaking of emails, Bob in Turtle Lake says he's just moved to Wisconsin, would like to know if he can find blue skullcap and bloodroot in the state, and if so, where?
So blue skullcap, I'm not sure exactly which plant, which species he's talking about. We do have skullcap that grows in this region, but I would need more particulars to know exactly which one he's talking about. Bloodroot, on the other hand, it's pretty obvious which plant he's talking about, and bloodroot does grow in deciduous wooded areas. So, yes, you can find bloodroot. Bloodroot is interesting. It's on the United Plant Savers Endangered or At-Risk Plant List, And so I do caution people not to go into the woods and dig that plant up. It's better to grow it and, you know, harvest from what you grow rather than go and harvest in the wild, because a lot of our native plants that are in woodland areas that where historically the roots have been utilized for medicine are overforaged or their habitat is being destroyed. So I would say get some plants and grow it in a shady area in your yard and harvest it there.
Carrie in Whitewater has a question for you. Let's go there. Hi, Carrie.
Hello.
Hi, what's on your mind today?
Well, I like to grow catnip, but I like to, I'd like to wonder if I can know if I can put it in a sunny window in the winter and still continue to pick it and use it, or whether or not it won't do as well.
Okay.
So, hello there. Catnip is an amazing plant, and it tends to be very vigorous, I would say. Some people might even call it invasive. It's in the mint family, and so mints tend to do really well no matter where they are. I have not brought catnip inside in the winter, but I can't imagine you wouldn't be able to, because it's just such a vigorous plant. And like I said, it's in the mint family, and they tend to be pretty hardy.
I think if you have it in a sunny window, probably going to be fine.
I think so. I think it would thrive, yep.
Carrie, it's worth a shot. Thanks very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Let's go to Desiree in Milwaukee. Hi, thank you for calling.
Yes, hello. I'm really excited to hear your show. I do listen to MPI all the time, or Milwaukee Public Radio, I'm sorry, MPR. And I really love the show, so I'm really excited to hear about the herbal fair that's coming up on Saturday. And I just wanted to comment that I've been growing herbs myself, and I also been studying them since I was 20. I'm like going to be 49 this year. And some of the herbs that I grow here at home now, since I've started growing them, would be echinacea, mint, some of the basic culinary herbs. But I just really, really love growing herbs and learning of the different uses of them. And I'm taking a course at online. It's with the Herbal Academy. Mm-hmm. And I really, really enjoy it because I'm learning so much more. And actually, since I've been studying on my own, not even with the Herbal Academy, I have learned all the different medicinal uses of even trees and wheat, you know, I guess plants that most people would call a nuisance as far as, and call them a weed, that they even have medicinal purposes. So I just think it's so great. I'm so excited. I love listening to your show. That's all I wanted to comment. Thank you.
Thanks, Desiree. And we'll talk some more about what's going on at the Herb Fair. But comment first, Linda, from you.
Well, it's wonderful. There's so many opportunities to learn about herbs and to explore them. And really, to me, it's a lifelong journey. I learn something every single day, and it keeps me curious and engaged. And, you know, this time of year, of course, you know, I'm harvesting, like I said earlier, a lot of roots. And all year long, there's something new that presents itself. So, yes, it's just super exciting. And there is more and more interest in this topic.
And just for Desiree, as a little more information about the 37th Annual Herb Fair, it is at Olbrich Botanical Gardens, which in and of itself is a wonderful place to visit any time of the year, but this time of the year especially, too. And Linda's speaking at 9:30 about Meet the Wild and Native Herbs of Wisconsin. And then at 11:30, Native Herbs in Ho-Chunk Food Traditions. Chef Elena Terry of Wild Berries Catering will be speaking. And then at 1:30, Medicinal Herbs and Lyme Disease. Herbalist Jean Schneider of Nativa Medica will be talking. And it's open to everyone. The admission is free.
It is.
I mean, you can hardly do any better than that. So I hope Desiree and a lot of other people are putting that on their calendars. We are talking with Linda Conroy, practicing herbalist, about wild and native herbs of Wisconsin. I'm Larry Mueller. Jill Nadeau, our producer today, Sarah Hopeful, our engineer, and you are listening to the Ideas Network. Taking a look at wild and native herbs of Wisconsin today on the Ideas Network, I'm Larry Mueller with my guest, herbalist Linda Conroy. Her business is called Moonwise Herbs. Fun to have her with us. One of the speakers at the November 2nd Herb Fair. And we have callers online. You could join in. There's one open line at 800-642-1234, or certainly email us at ideas@wpr.org. Linda in Wausau will give you a chance now. Hi, Linda.
Hi. Yeah, my question is on peppermint plants. I planted a couple peppermint plants in my garden a couple summers ago. Didn't really do anything with them. They overwintered well. They got really spread. They get flowers this summer. I was wondering what's the best way to harvest them, and if I use them while they're growing, do I pick lower leaves, take the stems off? And can I trim them down now before the freeze?
Mm-hmm. Yes, and all of the above. You're on the right track as far as harvesting them and cutting them back. And I don't know how you can utilize them fresh, and you can also bring them in and dry them so you have tea throughout the winter. And I also like to do some really fun things with mint, like chop it up and put honey on top of it, and then you'll have an infused mint honey. So there's all kinds of things you can do with it. And I usually do cut back the mints and try to keep them somewhat contained because they can become pretty vigorous.
Yes.
But it sounds like you're on the right track.
Yeah. Linda, does that help?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for calling. John in Chippewa Falls, your turn. Hi, John.
Hi. This is just a question. Some questions about rosemary.
Okay.
Should I dry it, freeze it? I've been considering digging it up and bringing it in, but if I do that, I have to do that in the next couple of days.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, wonderful, John. I'm glad you brought up rosemary. It happens to be one of my very favorite herbs. And yes, you would want to bring it in. Sometimes it does not overwinter. Often it won't outside. And so, you know, I do bring my plants in the winter. And I try to put them in a cool place and a place that's not where the heat won't dry it out, because that can cause it to die over the winter if it's in your house. And so as far as things that you can do with rosemary, definitely drying it, cooking with it fresh. It's another herb I like to put in honey or vinegar and flavor the honeys and vinegars. Rosemary is an herb that I also utilize topically in my herbal practice because it helps to move circulation. It's a great, makes a great herb for pain and any kind of muscle aches or soreness. So it's a fabulous herb, and it too is in the mint family, interestingly enough.
Yeah, that is interesting. And rosemary, can you, I was talking to somebody, and I may have this totally wrong, but they would put some of their herbs sometimes in ice cube trays and then put water in the trays, and then they'd freeze that, and then they'd save those, and then in the wintertime they'd pull them out and put them in soups or whatever.
Right. You can do that. That's definitely an option. I personally usually dry them, but that's definitely an option. And I've seen people, too, just take the herb and just put it together and take the whole thing and wrap it in some type of plastic wrap and put it in the freezer without even putting water on top of it. I've seen people do that with cilantro and then just, you know, take a little bit off as you need it.
Interesting. John, thank you very much for calling. Appreciate it. Jim in Oshkosh, we will go to you next. Hi, Jim.
Hello.
What can we do?
I'd like to know what herbs you consider the best for arthritis and mental alertness.
Hmm.
So we were just talking about rosemary, and rosemary has a lot of lore around it being the memory herb. And so that is an interesting plant for alertness, and it has a whole history and lore around it, so that's kind of fun. So that would be something you might want to investigate. There also is a lot of research being done right now, and I've been doing a lot of learning myself about mushrooms for medicine. And lion's mane mushroom seems to be one that's supporting cognitive functioning. So you might want to do some more research on that as well. And so as far as arthritis is concerned, there's a lot of different types of arthritis. So, you know, you would want to look at the type that you're dealing with. But generally, if you're looking for pain relief, the different herbs that can help relieve pain topically would be arnica or St. John's wort or even rosemary topically as well. Those can all be pain-relieving herbs.
All right. Jim, does that help?
Yeah. Can you use those internally also?
You can. Like I said, I think it's a good idea to look at your specific situation and do some research and see which herbs, would be most helpful. One herb, and this is a native tree that grows in Wisconsin, Tilia americana, which is our native linden tree. And that tree, actually, you can harvest the bracts and the flowers and make a tea, and that has anti-inflammatory qualities and pain-relieving qualities. So that might be an enjoyable tea that you might want to consider investigating and seeing if you enjoy that.
Yeah, that's great. Jim, thanks for calling. Well, let's go to Peter in Viroqua next. Hi, Peter. Peter, are you? I'm sorry. Oh, we must have lost Peter. That's all right. Well, you can call back, and if you're not Peter, you can call too. The number to call is 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Lots of open lines. Get you on pretty quickly here. Anne in Delafield emailed to ask if you have a favorite herbal remedy for a cold.
Well, it's interesting with colds because they go through different phases. And so at the very first sign of a cold, echinacea is something I really like, and or elderberry, so one of our other native plants that grows pretty profusely. At the end of the summer, we harvest the berries. And a lot of times people will make a syrup from that, so that can be really nice. It depends, you know, if the cold really escalates into something that's, more difficult. You might want to look at bringing other herbs in that help to move lymph fluids, like cleavers. There are a lot of things. But I would say, you know, generally echinacea and elderberry are two of my favorites.
Colin also emailed and wondered if you could recommend a book on medicinal herb collection and use in Wisconsin.
So, usually there's not just one book that you would get for that. I have a whole huge library. So for plant identification, my favorite book is Plants of Wisconsin and the Great Lakes Region. It's actually Wildflowers of Wisconsin and the Great Lakes region. And then pairing that with an herbal medicine book where you would, you know, compare notes from your identification book, looking at a book called The Gifts of the Healing Plants by Robin Rose Bennett. Those two books together can be really, really helpful. And then, you know, like I said, I have hundreds of books in my library looking at books for different topics, for different things. But those would be the two books I would suggest, starting with for medicine. And then for foraging for food, Sam Thayer's books are just spectacular for our region. He's written three different books on foraging plants, a lot of them very specific to our region.
I always enjoy talking with Sam. I think I've talked with him about all of his books over the years.
Yes, those books are so thorough and really user-friendly. So if you live in Wisconsin and you forage, you really need to own his books.
There we go. Tom in Muskego, it's your turn. Hi, Tom.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I heard you guys mention that thyme is a good thing if you have a little bit of a cough to mix it with honey or tea or something. How much would you put in a cup of tea?
So generally with a cup of tea, a teaspoon of dried herb in the cup is wonderful, steeped for 5 to 10 minutes. And, it's really good.
Nice teaspoon, 5 or 10 minutes in the hot water, and there you go, Tom. Thank you very much. Let's go to Peter in Viroqua. Hi, Peter.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I lost connection that first time.
Okay, there. Good to have you back.
Yeah, but I just wanted to know what the guest's thoughts were on whether some herbs are not actually a living plant, and I guess my question's coming from the Chinese tradition, where it's my understanding that the Chinese consider some inanimate materials to be herbs. So I just wanted to hear what her thoughts were on that.
Interesting. It's true. In Chinese medicine, they utilize a lot of different things for medicine. And I am a Western herbalist, and I tend to gravitate toward the plants and utilize them in my work and practice. So my mindset is different than the mindset in Chinese medicine, but I am aware of that, and I certainly think there's all different, there's many ways to get to the same place, and I certainly honor that tradition.
Yeah, I was trying to think of what inanimate object would Chinese even use, like stones or something? Or
stones would possibly be one, absolutely. And and they even venture into utilizing, animals and other even living creatures for healing.
Let's go to Judy in La Crosse. Hi, Judy.
Hello.
What's on your mind?
Hello. I want to know, thank you for taking my call. Do you have any experience with buckthorn? I believe it's a bush, could be a tree. The birds have planted in my backyard, and the bees and the birds love the berries. Any research I have indicates the possibility of poisonous as well as purgative, but they have used it in the old, the real old, like in England and that type of thing. Do you know anything about this?
So what I know is what you're saying is that it is poisonous, so ingesting it is not advisable. It is sometimes historically people will have utilized these plants in very, very small doses for medicine, and we don't necessarily have the knowledge that's been passed on to utilize those plants in that way for medicine, because we tend to utilize plants in a more directive way. If they are poisonous, they might be utilized and transformed into a drug. Like, for example, a poisonous plant called foxglove is a heart medication called digitalis. And most herbalists, I don't know any herbalists who would utilize foxglove directly as a plant. If they wanted to bring that in as medicine, they would turn to conventional medicine. So buckthorn may have been utilized historically in small doses, but I can't say that I know how to utilize it. And certainly the plant is invasive. I often tell people one of the best things I think you can do with buckthorn is to turn it into wood chips and utilize it in that way in the garden.
And just to go along with the medical side, Barrett in Grand Chute emailed to remind everybody to check for interactions with any medicines they're using or they're taking, or check with their physician before using the herbs. He heard St. John's wort mentioned, which does interact with several medications.
Yes, and that's why you'll hear me saying to people, I'm sharing information, but you always want to do your own research and get your own information and talk to your medical practitioner. Absolutely, I agree. And the more and more we see people utilizing herbs and pharmaceuticals together, the more important that is. So absolutely.
Liz emailed to ask if there will be herbs available for purchase at the herb fair.
And there will be. There are, I believe, 17 vendors, and they're all small Wisconsin businesses and organizations that are offering a lot of handmade, handcrafted wares. I know I'll be offering my handmade products. I grow and wild harvest the herbs that I put in my products, and many of the people that are there are growing them. The Madison Herb Society also, their volunteers put together a lot of really fun products, and they have a cookbook they'll have for sale. So there's going to be a lot happening in the marketplace.
Ellen in Eau Claire, your turn. Hi, Ellen. Thank you for calling.
Thank you. I have a question about lavender that I just happened upon a plant, and I potted it this summer, and it's beautiful. It took off. I don't know what type of lavender it is, but what can I do with it over the winter?
So lavender, so are you asking what you can do with it dried over the winter, or I guess...
Or how to keep it going over winter, Ellen?
Oh, both. Can I dry it, and can I bring it inside?
So yes and yes. And I do sometimes leave lavender outside in the garden, and I will heavily mulch it just to make sure that it's, its feet are warm, so to speak. It also doesn't tend to like to have its feet really, its roots really wet over the winter. So when I plant it in the first place, I look for what we call a microclimate, a really warm place where it'll have good drainage. So that's one thing I do when I plant it, to think about, setting it up so it has the best possibility of making it over the winter. And you can dig it up and bring it inside too. That's another option. And then I dry the plant. I also like to make different things with lavender. I'll put it in oil to make an oil for topical application that I turn into a salve or a lotion. And then I also, for culinary applications, I'll put it in vinegar or honey, or I'll just dry it and utilize it even for tea.
Yeah. It sounds great. Linda, do you ever put it in soaps?
Yes, I do. It's a wonderful herb for soaps.
Yeah.
It smells good, and it's antiseptic, antibacterial.
Sounds good to me. Ellen, thank you very much for calling. And let's go to Jessica in La Crosse next. Hi, Jessica.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good. Appreciate the call.
Thank you. I appreciate you taking my call. I had two questions. One was, Linda, what did you recommend for depression? I've read a bit about things like ashwagandha, but I'm interested to know what you might suggest. And then my second question was, if someone was interested in herbalism and maybe using that or learning about it, maybe the idea of having it as a career, what kind of careers might be available in herbalism?
Mm-hmm.
More than just like a hobby.
Yeah.
Right. Well, thank you for your questions. So let's start with the question about herbs for depression. That is a complicated question, and we certainly aren't in a position here to, offer treatment to anyone or to look directly at what's happening for a particular person. And herbalists are not medical providers. We're really educators, so what we're doing is providing information to people to make choices for themselves. So there are lots of herbs that you can investigate and learn about and see if they resonate for you. As far as helping to elevate the mood, depression is something when I ask people to describe what that means to them, it's usually very unique to them, like, what does this look like for you? So certainly someone mentioned St. John's wort we talked about earlier, and a caller mentioned St. John's wort as a possibility. And again, if you're on other medications, you would want to do some research to make sure it wasn't contraindicated. Certainly, there are lots of herbs that support the nervous system. Lemon balm and skullcap are nice herbs for the nervous system. So it's a very complicated question that you asked.
Nah.
Hopefully that gives you a little bit of food for thought. And then the second part of your question, there are many different hats that herbalists can wear. Certainly some herbalists do wellness consultations, and that's something I do in supporting people and learning about and utilizing herbs for promoting health and wellness. And then, some herbalists become educators, and I'm doing a lot of the different things that herbalists do. I say I'm a generic herbalist. I also am a community organizer, so sometimes herbalists are organizing in their community to bring events. I'm the founder and the host of the Midwest Women's Herbal Conference, which happens in June. We have 400 women that come out to learn about herbs. And that's a great place to meet a lot of different teachers and educators and to see what different people are doing. And also at the Herb Fair, you can meet a lot of different herbalists and see how people are applying it. Some of us are cooks and chefs, and we help with herbal nutrition. So there's a lot of different avenues and a lot of different options. There's no specific credentialing for herbalists. Herbalists are not licensed medical practitioners, so it's not there's not a straight up career trajectory for herbalists. It's more of a meandering path in a lot of ways.
There you go, Jessica. And let's say for the annual Herb Fair, which is coming up November 2nd, if you visit Madison Herb Society, that's all one word, madisonherbsociety.org, you're going to find out all the information you need about this free herb fair on November 2nd. And I expect that you have on your website, Linda, more information about the Midwest Women's Herbal Conference, not coming again until June, but people can learn more probably from your business.
Well, the Herbal Conference does have its own website as well, so if people wanted to visit, it's MidwestWomensHerbal.com, so people can visit that website as well.
Mm-hmm. And how do people get a hold of you?
So through my website, MoonWiseHerbs.com, and of course people can come to the fair and meet me if they'd like to, so that would be
That'd be great, yeah.
Yes.
Right then. Thank you so much for taking time to be with us today, Linda. I learned a bunch, and I hope we have a chance to do this again. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Larry. Have a good day.
You as well. Linda Conroy, practicing herbalist, and she wears a lot of hats in that job. She's the founder of the Midwest Women's Herbal Conference, and take a look at her website as well. There's lots of good information you're going to learn as you go to it as well. Well, I'm going to talk about food coming up next a little bit and what's going on at Our Wisconsin Magazine. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to the Ideas Network.